Shalom lekulam, shuv anachnu yachad.
Hello to everyone. We're again together reading the study of the Ten Sfirot. So where are we? We are in volume 1, part 4. We are in the item 9, I believe. And we'll prepare ourselves and we'll hear Rav, of course, first, who will tell us how the Creator brings the will to receive closer to Him. Please. We are studying with you that the Creator created the desire to receive in order to manage the desire to receive and bring it to identify with itself, with Himself. So it will be a desire to receive in order to bestow. The Creator arranged the whole relation between His desire to bestow and the desire to receive of the created beings through the ladder of degrees, the worlds, so that gradually it would be possible to care for the desire to receive through the Partsufim, the Sfirot, and thus come to a state in which the upper light, which is all in order to bestow, will gradually come to having a connection with the desire to receive. And this way, they will advance towards one another. Therefore, what he says that the whole connection between the upper light and the desire to receive is done through the degrees, where the upper light gradually gets weakened and comes to a state that it can have a connection with the desire to receive. So we saw how much the Creator created so that He'll be able to bring us closer to Him. Again, we are reading together the study of Ten Sfirot, Volume 1, Part 4. We are in the item 9. So whoever opens the book, item 9 above the words of the Ari, and the heading is a record that remained after the departure of the light became a vessel. Item 9. It is known that when the upper light expands and disappears once more, it necessarily leaves a record below. That light is the record that remains below when the upper light departs and becomes concealed in its origin. The light of this record remains below without that upper light. Then, a vessel is formed by the distancing of the remaining light. The expansion of the light and its subsequent departure caused the making of the vessel. And now we're going to read below item 200 in the inner light, which clarifies the reason that caused the making of the vessel out of the subsequent departure of the light. Item 200. The vessel is made primarily through the record that remains after the departure of the light. That's explained here in the words of the Ari. Hence, both are equal in the making of the vessel. Therefore, two couplings are needed here, called the first look and the second look. The first look is for the expansion of the light, while the second look is for the departure of the light. It is by these two phases of couplings that the vessels of reception of the degree are completed. As it is written, as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good, so the Lord will rejoice, etc. Rejoicing means coupling. There is an upper coupling to destroy, meaning the departure of light. As there is an upper coupling to do good, meaning expansion of light. For that reason, they are both called rejoicing. After we read about these two looks, we'll watch an excerpt from Rav, who tells us what records they leave us. The first look is in order to receive, and the second looking is to say how to empty, to be refined. No, to be refined is the screen. How should we say? To empty. To be emptied. The opposite of to receive.
To
reject. Also correct. Well, what should I write? To depart. Okay. So the first look is to receive, and the second one is to depart. But meaning, first observation, the second looking or observation is are two opposite ones. However, both from the first and from the second, records remain. Records from the first look are the tamim, the flavors that expand in the body, and it's a result of the flavors, they're the tagin, and the records from the second looking are the records from the departure of the lights from the vessels, and that's the nekudot and otiot. Tamim, nekudot, and what remains after them are tagin and otiot. Looks like the microphone is off.
Ikra keter. Ni chozer shuv.
Again, we're going to go to item 10 on the heading, the title above. Since the light departed at once, only one vessel was made, and it is called keter. Item 10, the words of the Ari. When the first light departed once more, it departed at once in a single moment. Hence, all the remaining light became one vessel. It is called a vessel, a kli, called keter. Since the upper light had not yet been distinguished in ten sfirot, for their being ten sfirot had not yet become apparent. The reason it is called keter and not some other sphira is that keter is always close to the emanator. So now we're going to watch another peace from Rav, where we will learn. We have one coupling and 10 vessels. Why one? Why 10? Let's see. Why one coupling if we have 10 vessels? Because there's one malchut, one desire, that to begin with includes within it five desires. Just as I come to eat this meal, so I'm intending to the whole meal, five portions within this business or special meal. And so, although there are five lights and types, but there can't be any more than five or less than five. Therefore, we relate to this as to one whole. I can't divide this meal. I am built that way with my five inner vessels, 9 and not 10, and 9, 11, 9, 10. That's why it's called one coupling of striking. Unless, what happens later? Malchut rises to all the sefirot and is inscribed there in each and every sefira and creates a siyum, a conclusion in every one of those sefirot. And then we have 10 siyums in each of those sefirot. And then we have 10 vessels. That's why here it's called one kli. Akudim. Akud, or bound in one vessel. And then in the word of Nikudim, where Malchut, as a point, as a Nikuda, rises in each Sfira and includes herself in each Sfira there, then there are 10 vessels, 10 kingships, 10 different Zivugim, different couplings. That's the difference. What's the benefit from this? The expansion of the vessels. The difference in the understanding of what's happening here. I'm not just looking at one big thing. So I start to discern 10 malchuts. I'm starting to notice what's going on within, how I respond, how it impacts me. Where's the creator here? Where's the created being? That's why it's called the multiplicity of vessels. Nothing from Ein Sof is not innovated, but rather Malchut gets involved in each and every discernment, enters each and every discernment with her desire and starts to scrutinize what's happening here. That's called the intensifying or the multiplication of the vessels. But for the time being in Akudim, we have one light in one vessel, one zivug, one coupling. That's it. So there's the multiplicity of vessels, but they expand. That's what's important. So we're continuing. Item 300 in the inner light. Item 300 clarifies at once in a single moment. Item 300 below. Although couplings by striking are done there along the departure of the light, and because of it, four levels of 10 sefirot emerged, one above the other, it is still regarded as a single departure at a single moment. It is so because the upper light copulates with the screen as it becomes refined and concealed. Therefore, these couplings are not regarded as expansion. So let's get to know now the partsufim of Nikudot. And we'll watch a piece from Rav. We received light from above down into the goof until the tabur. Now there is a beating and a decision to be refined. So here comes the keter. It is completely refined. What? There's a decision in the rosh, in the head, that the screen of dalid, the four of coarseness that we had here, will be now on three of coarseness. And there's a coupling of striking up on it. So every previous degree is refined, and until the degree of three that it expands now, and then there's also a beating it is assigned to be refined, and the second level comes, the refinement. and then the level of one, and then the degree of root. And this way, the levels are refined. So they always say that all these levels are depart in a smooth way from the body, just like I drew it here. But it's not correct, because in each decision, there's the departure of that whole level, of that whole quality. And the next partsuf, and the next partsuf, meaning this is the Galgalta. This is in departure. We have the inner Ab, the inner Sag, the inner Ma, and the inner Bon. And this is how it's refined. And this is how each time it's a partsuf in and of itself. But all these partsufim altogether are called for us the partsufim of Nekudot. But we nevertheless consider them as one thing. Why? Because we are the created beings. We define everything from the Malchut. If only one Malchut works, whatever happens, I don't care. Towards me, but only towards my one discernment, it's called one vessel. A lot of partsufim and nekudot, but one departure, one decision of the created being. We're continuing. We are in item 11. And in the words of the Ari above, let's read the heading. The 10 sfirot in this vessel are discerned according to their distance from phase 4. Meaning according to the four phases in the upper light. Item 11. Although we have explained above that there are the vessels of Malchut and Yesod, etc., in this vessel, they are still not called 10 vessels, since they are still not recognized as 10 sefirot. And also, because the light departed together. The thing is that it is like one long vessel whose parts are not equal. According to the distance of these parts from end to end. Now we're going to read in the inner light, item 400. Item 400 clarifies according to the distance of these parts from end to end. Item 400. You will understand that from what is written in part 1, there are four phases in the upper light itself. Chochma, Bina, Tiferet Malchut, Chub Tum. Even before it expands for coupling by striking. Because of it, the single vessel too was impressed by the same four phases, Chub Tum, in the light. Thus, these 10 sefirot are also discerned in that single vessel according to the distance of these four phases from end to end. However, since there is but a single vessel here, which is Malchut, the light is therefore regarded as a single light as well, without the discernment of 10 sefirot. It is so because we have no perception of the light, if not through the evaluation of its clothing in the vessels. And since the vessel is one, we also have a single light. So we have concluded chapter 1. We're going to move to chapter 2, which is continuing in our next page here. Let's read the heading of chapter 2. Chapter 2 explains the records that remain after the departure of the lights and the reflected light that descends during the departure. So, as we're opening this chapter, we'll watch a clip from Rav that will show us and explain to us how the records define everything for us, or whether we still have free choice. After the departure of the lights, we only have the records remaining. And according to these records, we probably have the next expansion. Meaning, there's nothing more important than the records, because we are always in some state as a result of the previous state, and in us, in from the previous state, we have what we call the records, the Rishimo, and they define everything that will happen with us. The question is, how can I influence my fate? Those records define for me the whole path now and operate me from within in such a way that whether I feel or not, I do them necessarily, or that I have here some maybe choice of my own, a change that I, and if so, then based on what, if not upon the previous records, should I choose? In short, what's happening here? So we are starting with item 1, the words of the Ari above the heading. When the lights ascend and depart, they draw reflected light from above through couplings by striking. We must now let you know by a different approach, which includes all the worlds, regarding the matter of the return of the lights to the emanator. Besides what we have explained elsewhere, although they ascend and depart, they draw from above downward from the emanator, the discernment of light called reflected light. Now, we're going to watch a clip from Rav, and he will explain to us exactly what this reflected light is and how to build how the Rishimot, the records are created. We know we have direct light, Ol Yashar, here, that becomes inner light inside the Partsuf, and the part that remains as surrounding light, Ol Mekif. The surrounding light is that part of the light that remains outside, that should have filled the Sof of the Partsuf, but cannot, due to the lack of a screen, there's no intention in order to bestow, and in order to receive, it doesn't want to receive. That's why the light that remains outside is the surrounding light. This surrounding light pressures the screen and creates a beating, and by that it creates the refinement, which returns the light to the Pratsuf to the place where it was before. But when it returns to the state from before, when it received the light, it received it in five inner parts in it, which are called Keter, Chochmah, Bina, Zeranpin, and Malchut of the Guf. And now, according to this, it is refined gradually. This is how it is refined. And when it is refined, we have very interesting actions that take place here. And this is what happens to us in life, even in our regular corporeal life. all kinds of changes that we go out from the previous state. Where was I? Where am I now? I'm starting to compare between things. Yes to be, not to be, to go out, not to go out. It's better, it's worse. And then we start to see changes between states and the scrutiny between these states. And from this scrutiny between the states, the records are born. And this is all the wisdom that we acquire. If I just see red and black, I don't learn anything. But in the clash between things, from the comparison between them, the third part that is entering there from this clash, from these sparks that take place there, the results of that comparison is the actual wisdom. That's the asset, the acquisition we make. Because it's the previous state, there's the current state, which take place in a person, and the person is alert to this, aware of it, then between the two that the Creator puts him through, he learns his wisdom and builds himself. Also yesterday, also today, it's all given from above. What I learned between yesterday and today, that's called the Adam, the person.
So
from all these clashes and comparisons and all the records, we acquire the wisdom. We're continuing with item one in inner light. Item one in the inner light clarifies they draw from above downward from the emanator the discernment of light called reflected light. Item one below inner light. During the departure of the light of Keter, because of the ascent of Malchut to Zera'anpin, to phase three, there was a coupling of the upper light in the screen of phase three. And 10 sefirot of direct light and reflected light on the level of Chochmah were extended. In this way, couplings were done in all the degrees along the ascent of the screen for its refinement. The Ari writes, although they ascend and depart, they draw from above downward, from the emanator, the discernment of light called reflected light. Since every coupling by striking draws reflected light from the upper light, as that part of the light that is rejected from Malchut is called reflected light. So we're approaching the end. We can watch one more clip from Rav that explains to us that reflected light is actually sourced in the Creator. Please. The reflected light is not some light that I'm rejecting or pushing backwards. It's a light that comes from above down. All the lights come from above down, from the Creator. He is the source of the light. Even when we say the created being is operating and the light that emerges from the vessels by the action of the created being is called reflected light, the light that departs, that's not correct. That's how it is in the feeling of the creature, that it's as if it's departing, but it's, if it's departing is that it's coming from the Creator and is weakened that way. We're talking about the actions of the created being. That's why he says all that he rejects these lights. He cannot reflect or reject these lights. We're just doing actions that by my actions I am limiting the appearance of the lights in me. The light altogether is in absolute rest. I make myself each time more coarse, and then I feel like the light is departing and exiting me. I become more refined. It's as if the light's coming to me. That's according to the equivalence of form or disparity of form, which is how I feel whether lights are coming closer or departing. But actually, there's only qualities. The light is not moving. It's all in the qualities of the vessel. So we're concluding our common reading today in the study of the Ten Sefirot. We went through many states together, and we will continue together. We have another common reading in the Zohar soon.